Welcome to GFT, Galactic Figure Talk, a podcast about Star Wars and Star Wars action figure collecting.
Awesome, yeah!
The reason they're 3¾ inches tall is because the first mock-up figures that I made were Fisher-Price Adventure People.
I will freeze your body in carbonite forever, Han Solo!
Not so fast!
We finally launched 6-inch when I felt the time was right. We needed a new spark.
We started selling all of the action figures through the fan club, and our most successful was the Cantina Band. That was enormously one of the best-selling items we've ever sold through the fan club.
I used my nephew as a hand model on the Wampa box. He's the one with the little hand that's in there.
It's Kenner's new Star Wars action figures.
Now, welcome your host, Chris B.
Welcome to another episode of GFT, Galactic Figure Talk. My name is Chris B. I'm your host. And this episode of the podcast is about the Kenobi TV series. The Galactic Figures community got together and discussed the show in a roundtable discussion, and I'm going to play you guys an excerpt from our talk. But first, let's talk about Star Wars action figure news. So, this Sunday, July 31st, 2020, is apparently a big day for Target. They have been resetting their toy aisles and they've been getting new product in, including Star Wars action figures. The exclusive figures that they have, they are not street dated, but apparently internally, they're supposed to be put onto shelves on the 31st, so this coming Sunday. So, if you've got nothing better to do, on a Sunday morning or so, get up and go on a toy run and see if Target has any of their exclusives. There's a Vintage Collection Mix Mayfeld that you can get, Cosca Reeves from the Vintage Collection as well. There's also been a lot of reports about the Obi-Wan Kenobi Wave from the Vintage Collection hitting Target stores. That includes Obi-Wan Kenobi, Reva, and Darth Vader from the show. But there's also a few other Black Series exclusives that Target has, like the Galen Erso or the Antok Merrick figures, which have been on pre-order for like almost a year or more than a year at this point, but they're supposed to be put out as well. And even though it's not exclusive to Target, the Black Series Deluxe Saw Gerrera figure has also been showing up at Target stores. So this Sunday is a good day to go out and go hunting. And also, before I forget, the Retro Collection Chewbacca figure, the prototype edition, which is painted up in all kinds of funky colors, that has also been showing up on store shelves. So again, this Sunday, July 31st, 2022, is a good day to go out and see if Target restocked the shelves. Now, the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive for 2022 is the Black Series Boba Fett in Disguise figure, the all-black Boba Fett figure. You can now pre-order it currently on the Hasbro Pulse app. So if you haven't gotten it yet, open up your app or go to the website, and that's a place where you can get it for regular retail. And it is exclusive to HasbroPulse.com in the United States. And that's currently everything that I have on my list of things to talk about when it comes to Star Wars action figures. As always, check the links in the description. Check out GalacticFigures.com and see if there's anything that you've missed when it comes to news. Now, not Star Wars action figure related, but worth mentioning is the documentary series Light and Magic by Lawrence Kasdan, which is currently up on Disney Plus. It's a new show and it talks about the history of ILM and how the whole company came about, basically. And it is, of course, a great, great look into the making of Star Wars. It features new interviews with George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, James Cameron. And the way the story is told is a really, really fresh. You know, over the years, we've seen a lot of the documentaries, of course, especially if you grew up with the original trilogy. You know, the behind-the-scenes stuff, I've always gobbled that stuff up like crazy because it was new Star Wars content when we didn't have anything else besides the first three movies, right? And of course, you know, every time there was deleted scenes or bonus features on the DVDs, I always loved diving into that stuff. I mean, that documentary about episode one, right? That's like an hour long. It's just phenomenal. I love stuff like that. And what they've done with Light and Magic is to kind of give us a different look at the making of Star Wars. And, you know, specifically, of course, it's about ILM. And, you know, there's so many familiar faces in there. And it just shows you that, you know, the people that we should be worshipping instead of the actors are actually the guys who made the special effects. Because the amount of work that just went into making the first three movies, especially the first one, it's just amazing. And all the stress and trouble that George Lucas had to go through is truly amazing. They even feature John Dykstra in it, which is crazy. Because we, of course, knew about the fallout between him and George Lucas. And they talk about it openly. And I thought it was so refreshing. And then Phil Tippett is featured. And he talks about his depression and his overall struggles. And how model making has just helped him through life. And it is truly remarkable, and I hope that you guys take your time and watch it. It is fairly long. I think every episode is close to a little longer than an hour. So it's about a 6-hour long series, but it is so worth it and so fulfilling, I thought. So just thought I'm going to throw this out to you guys, and I hope you take your time and dive into that. I thought it was really, really well done. All right, so now that we have that out of the way, let's talk about the Kenobi TV series. Now, we've had a roundtable discussion previously about the first two episodes of Kenobi, and you can listen to that on episode 96. So our discussion wasn't specifically about a particular episode, but about the entire series overall. So without further ado, here is our discussion.
The fight is done. We lost. Stay hidden. The key. Hunting Jedi. This patience. Jedi cannot help what they are. Their compassion leaves a trail. The Jedi Code is like an itch. He cannot help it. Where is he?
All right, Kenobi time. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Overall, thumbs up from you, Ryan. Jeff, thumbs up. Ray, thumbs up. Kerry?
Yeah.
Matt?
That's a qualified thumbs up.
Thumbs up?
Yeah.
Okay. I give my thumbs up too, although I certainly have my issues with the show. And the biggest issue, I cannot get over it. Like, it really bugs the crap out of me. And those were the special effects. I have to tell you guys, there were some shots in that show which just looked so cheap to me. I could not understand why they wouldn't spend the budget on getting those effects right. That just really bucked the crap out of me. And, you know,
like the Filoni and Favreau when they talked about the Mandalorian, right? And they talked about how the Razor Crest and how they replicated the movement of the ship and how they went to John Knoll's garage to put it on the mount and just have the computer generalized turn so that they just capture the movement of the ship in space just properly. I did not see that attention to detail in the show at all. Like, I felt like when Kenobi was fleeing from the Star Destroyer, the ship just goes jip, left, right, up and down. And it just. But other stuff looked great. But there's just some moments in it that just did not work for me at all. Like, from a special effects point of view.
Do you think that work was partially because of COVID? Like, that those teams couldn't be together and have access to things that they might have needed access to make things better?
I don't know. I mean, it felt rushed to me in places.
There was times where the quality definitely felt more television than the movie. Yeah. I like just in the quality of the image sometimes, not even just getting into effects, but there's sometimes it just felt like it was more like a TV show that's trying to make itself look better than it really is.
The shaky cam. Yeah. So I have a few things written down here that I, you know, just want to go over and then wherever the conversation takes us. But Darth Vader, I thought they did a really, really good job capturing him. The voice sounded great. He looked great. He moved good. I mean, that looked like Darth Vader to me. You guys agree on that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, he was awesome.
The voice makes a great difference between Rogue One, Vader, and this one. The mix of the voice was, okay, yes, I buy that this is the correct Vader.
I will tolerate your weakness no longer. Now you will suffer, Obi-Wan.
Did James Earl Jones really record anything, or was this his dialogue that they now have in a machine that they can now use for Darth Vader forever?
Option number two. Just like they did with Mark Hamill in Book of Boba Fett, it's just they basically programmed in James Earl Jones stuff and then put in the dialogue, and that came out. And I think for Vader, it worked really well because he has kind of a mechanical sound to his voice anyway. So I thought it really worked. Yeah, I thought his voice was great. It's better than what we've had in the last several years. Yeah, I'd say even better than what we had in Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, it was good.
Where is Padme? Is she safe? Is she all right?
It seems in your anger, you killed her.
I couldn't have. She was alive. I felt it.
The moment when they, you know, cut from Anakin's voice to Vader's voice after the helmet was sliced open, I loved that part. I thought that was just great.
Anakin. Anakin's gone. I am what remains. I'm sorry, Anakin. For all of it.
I am not your failure,
Obi-Wan.
You didn't kill Anakin Skywalker. I did. The same way I will destroy you.
Ewan McGregor was perfect, right? I mean, that was Obi-Wan. Like, I thought he brought his A game. I mean, it's 20 years later and he just puts the costume on and still, that's That's Obi-Wan, right?
Yep.
The big discussion online, of course, been Reva. Matt, how do you feel about Reva?
I mean, I kind of feel like the character itself maybe wasn't the best. I mean, it didn't draw my interest as much. I felt her ending just, you know, turning good. I think we all kind of thought that was going to happen. You know, I think that was kind of telegraphed. And I don't know. I mean, I think the actress did a great job. I liked her fight with Vader. I thought that was that was really good to see how he was just toying with her. And I did like that, you know, she was there to, you know, she turned to the dark side basically to with one mission to kill Vader. I thought that was good. But, you know, I don't know. I just something about her character. I can't really put my finger on it, but it didn't draw my interest as much. But I did like the conversation with her and Obi-Wan at the gate. I thought that was good.
You knew who Vader was back on Daiyu. How did you know that? Vader would have kept that hidden, and you're too young to have known him. Unless you were there.
It doesn't matter where I was.
The night of Order 66, you were a youngling. That's how you knew. You saw him.
Stop.
Anakin killed the others.
That's enough.
He killed the other younglings.
Enough.
But somehow you...
Enough! I was too weak. When he left, I played dead, hid with the bodies, felt them go cold. They were the only family I knew. And he slaughtered them.
You're not serving him, are you? You're hunting him. Let me help you.
Why would I ever trust you?
Because we want the same thing.
Do we, Obi-Wan? Do you really want Anakin dead? Where were you while he was killing my friends? He was your Padawan. Why didn't you stop him? Why didn't you save us? I don't need your help.
Carrie, how do you feel about Reva?
She was a good character, but I think they kind of wasted her. Just the way it worked out, I felt there was more potential there. She could have had a bigger ending. I was expecting her to die, really, basically. And she kind of got away with everything and wandered off into the sunset. And I guess classic redemption type thing, but I don't know. It just felt a little wasted to me. And it just brings up the other problem I had with the program is that sometimes the story was just really convenient. She got stabbed by a lightsaber, and then 5 minutes later she was on Tatooine or whatever. It just seemed too easy for people to get around in a hurry in that show.
Yeah, that's the gripe I have with the show is that, you know, how fast they traveled from one place to the other, right? I mean, Kenobi is done with the Vader fight, and off he goes, and he's right there on Tatooine.
Very fast.
No, but she doesn't have any ship, no? Because if you go back, the Obi-Wan is trapped and they don't have any ship to leave the planet. So Vader destroyed one ship. The other ship was with Obi-Wan and the rest of the Resistance, and they flew. And all the Imperials go out. So how she have a ship to go to Tatooine? No,
no, she had the spinning lightsaber. She flew like a helicopter.
Thank God that didn't happen in the show, right?
No. But it's as Kerry was saying, the time sometimes of the series and that particular time is like how did she go to Tatooine because all the ships. It was gone because Vader took the ship and the rest of the troopers got the ship and it was another ship in the planet. In 2 minutes to get it, it was crazy.
No, mm-hmm. No, there is something
and about, his tunic also.
Yeah, there is something about Star Wars and seeing people getting on ships and getting off ships. You know, these little things just kind of help the story along, you know. I know that for Empire, when Lucas recut it for the special edition, he specifically added the scene where Vader walks back to his ship on Bespin. there's just something that, you know, just connects the dots somehow. And that was definitely something I was missing in this show. You know, little details like when Kenobi swims to that Inquisitor base, right? And in George Lucas's version, when they swam to Utagunga, they walk through or they swim through that energy field and then they're dry, right? I mean, they're dried off. Here, he just climbs out of his hole in the water, and then the next shot we see he's dry, right?
Well, the robes have got to be really heavy when he's wet, right?
Yeah. So they visually don't, you know, tell us exactly what's happening in the show. And I, you know, it's missing a little George Lucas detail for me in some cases, you know?
Yeah, just to as you're saying, close the dots and to get not an explanation, but just to go to the point A to the point B, you cannot fly, no? Or maybe as Goku, no? Teletransport. It's not like that.
Right. So, Jeff, thoughts about Reva? Or Ray, your thoughts about Reva? We haven't gotten your thoughts yet.
I like the character. I don't get all the attacks for her. Maybe all the speculation and some fans are not fans and they just want to hate everybody and go now that Star Wars is Disney, go to hell, no, or something. But mm-hmm. The only thing I felt that the character has to die, no, because she's not good for me, or I like the character, I like her as they interpretate Reva, but I thought that, and I think that his character, when they are on Tatooine and she's like letting go all his hate, maybe she has to die, no? Because I know that the character has to like let go everything, the hate that she has, the wound that she's having, no? And maybe that point, it's like a echo to Obi-Wan with Darth Maul that rebels, he dies in his arm. Maybe it could be something like that with Reva dying on Kenobi's arm at that point, no? But the characters, I like it. The two sabers that she has, it was a cool scene. The Vader, for example, when he throws the lightsaber, as in the video game, was great. I like the series and I like the character, but I thought that she has to die, no? In that moment, because you open, maybe she's going to have like something in Andor or something in another series, but I don't feel that it was a good idea, no? But I like the character. That's it.
Mm-hmm. I hope they have a reason for her living, because yeah, they didn't tie up her story very well. It was just like all of a sudden, oh, it's over. We're just going to let this lady live, and she knows Luke, she knows who the Anakin is, Darth Vader. Like, she knows a lot.
Yeah.
We're just going to let her go off into the galaxy. I mean, to me, there could have been multiple different ways to go about that, whether it's, you know, that she dies, or maybe she trains with Obi-Wan for a little while, or, you know, does something, or meets up with Ahsoka. Who knows? Maybe she'll end up in the Ahsoka series. I don't know. But, you know, I hope there's a reason for her to live and something more for the story to be done there.
Mm-hmm. So did you like Reva overall?
Yeah, I thought she was a good character. I thought she worked well. Just that ending was kind of weird.
Yeah, I thought she was going to die too, to be honest. Yeah.
You know, what Ryan just said, I think maybe what I couldn't put my finger on what I didn't like about the character. But that's a very good point, that, you know, she just walks off into the sunset and knows, like, more than anyone, she has all the pieces of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. It's kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff, your thoughts about Reva?
Yeah, I liked her just fine. I mean, I just kind of went with the show and sort of where it was going. I didn't kind of overanalyze some things, especially maybe with her. And I liked the stuff that she had with Vader and Obi-Wan. I kind of liked the back and forth between her and the Inquisitors. I kind of would like to have seen that more, because the whole idea of there being this big power struggle happening between, you know, all the Inquisitors. And it was nice, you know, remember when we had our chat the night after the first two episodes, we talked about the Inquisitor and whether like, oh, he's dead. Like that's kind of violating what was going on in Rebels. So they didn't do that. You know, they didn't violate that, which was good. And you know, I hope maybe she comes back if there's a second Obi-Wan season, or she, you know, pops up in another show coming up. I mean, yeah, I think to just kind of leave her character kind of hanging here, wouldn't be the best.
Maybe we'll see her hooking up with Emphis Nest or something.
She'd be an Andor.
Yeah. All right. Going back to the special effects, I have de-aging on my list here.
and that can
when that camera is panning towards Anakin, I was like, oh my god, this is so cool. This is a flashback scene. And then Hayden Christensen turns around, and it's literally like the way he looks like now when he's 40 years old. Like, I didn't see the de-aging at all.
No, it didn't look like they de-aged him. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys like, did that work for you guys? Cause for me, it did not work at all. I felt like, oh my god, like, cause you know, when you see Hayden Christensen, for me, like, you know, you see him on a press junket or something, and or see a news article, it's like, oh my god, this guy doesn't age, right? Like, he always looks young. But then in that moment when that camera pans on him, like his wrinkles and everything is the close up, I was like, oh my god, they forgot to de-age him completely.
I was the only character they needed to de-age, really. And yeah, it took me out of the scene a little bit to begin with, and then I was like, okay, I'm just gonna go with it, and you know, got back in. But yeah, the first glance, it's like, you know, I wouldn't say as bad as like Leia at the end of Rogue One or something like that, where it really takes you out, like, oh man, that doesn't look right, you know. But you know, you knew it was him, but it's like, they could have done something there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was just Obi-Wan having a strangely surreal dream or something.
I freeze framed through that scene to see what work they did, and because Obi-Wan didn't look right either to me. And I was looking at Ewan McGregor's face, and I noticed that they had removed his mole.
Oh, weird!
And he has this thing on his forehead. I don't know if he had it removed in real life, but you know, taking the close-up shots of the action figures, like the headshots, you know, I'm always surprised when Hasbro puts in like little details, like a mole or something, and for a lot of the Obi-Wan Kenobi figures, they did that, you know, where the figure has his little mole. And so I was looking for that little mole on his forehead, but I couldn't find it. So I guess they removed it, or maybe he had it removed in real life. I don't know, but it kind of looked off to me. So just throwing this out there.
I felt the not the aging Anakin. I thought that the director want to us to see that they fight, they really fight in that scene, not to make a cameo or something like that, or maybe a stunt and you put the face. I felt that she wants us to see that it was really hidden and it wasn't fighting in that scene, no? Because as you say, the thing that they do with Mark Hamill or the John Luke on Mandalorian, it was great. So they have the potential to do something better. But I felt that she wants us to see that they really fight. No, they really had this last fighting, like the one that we saw on Episode 3. I don't know, because they do a really good job in the new Mark Hamill when he's training Grogu. So to get an, I don't know, 10 years for Anakin, it was not big deal. But I thought that she was like, he's really fighting. No, you are seeing really these guys fighting this scene. No, I don't know.
Yeah, you think it felt more real this way?
Yeah, because you are seeing like Hayden Christensen in this time, no?
Mm-hmm.
Because when they start to saying that he's going to come back, and the press conference, he has his hair a little bit longer, so maybe he's doing something for Ahsoka series, but to see him fighting, it was like they could do another job to make it him look younger, but it was not like that. So I thought that it was like the director was like, they are fighting. He's the one that he's doing his Obiani movement and all of that. No, I don't know. I felt like that. But as Ryan was saying, 2 minutes, he looks old, but it's a great scene. No, it was like, okay, forget that. Let's see this fighting. No,
how did the Inquisitors work for you guys?
I think they looked a little too cartoony in live action. Actually, a kind of strange thing to say. They didn't look the kind of withered, realistic that we're used to in Star Wars. They looked too clean, too shiny, or something. That's just how I felt. Like, I felt that it didn't quite work, but it might be just me. Mm-hmm.
Well, the fourth sister was hardly in it. We saw her just briefly. Mm-hmm. The fifth brother had a few scenes, not a whole lot, and then the Grand Inquisitor was gone for most of it. I really thought that after the Grand Inquisitor was killed off, that they would replace him with a new Grand Inquisitor, which is then going to look more like an Utapauan with the skinny, long head.
I was wondering that too, yeah.
But no, they brought him back. And I mean, he was stabbed with a lightsaber and he survived because he has two stomachs, apparently.
Qui-Gon's the only one that dies from being stabbed in the stomach. Everybody else lives, right?
Yeah.
Those Inquisitors need to check their lightsabers. They don't seem to be working.
Yeah, I overall really enjoyed Leia. You know, I thought that she was wonderful. And I rewatched A New Hope with my kids. So we did Kenobi little by little, and then we watched the last two episodes of Kenobi and then right into A New Hope. And the way it changed Leia is really remarkable. Like it didn't change Leia. That's what I love about it. Like, it just kind of expanded her, right? Because the mannerisms from the little kid, I mean, are perfect, literally perfect, the way we see Leia in A New Hope. I mean, you know, the over the top kind of acting, you know, and being in charge of everything and wanting everything her way. Beautifully done. I really, really appreciated that. And it's kind of weird when you watch the original trilogy specifically and you take a legacy character like Leia, and all of a sudden you have this background story now that you can think about. Because, you know, we saw Alderaan briefly, but we actually got to see a little bit of Alderaan, you know? And I love that the Kenobi show gave us that. I really, really appreciated that. Other than that, I mean, the time on Tatooine is pretty much what we expected, right? I mean, he was in isolation and, you know, he was watching Luke. I think the surprise that most of us had is that he really dealt with the fallout of Anakin turning to the dark side and the Jedi, you know, falling, the Jedi Temple being gone and all that. I mean, I don't think that's something that we necessarily were ready to see, right? That it was like, that he was that down, that he really needed a push to come back and become himself again.
That was great. Also, Leia. The only thing that, as you were saying, is we have now a strong Leia to maybe have a different series, not maybe Kenobi, something for Leia or something to the rebellion. Maybe we will be out on Andor, maybe something like that. The only thing that it was like seeing Qui-Gon. Qui-Gon was not as I was expected. But it was a great to see him again, no? But I don't know, but that you, was you something tricky to
did
use.
You want more from him, or what did you expect?
To maybe Obi-Wan in the cave when he's like trying to get him, and then in the cave maybe like, now I'm ready to hear from you, and maybe on the cave that to appear to him. And not like I was here all the time, no? Maybe no, that was not for me, no? Because maybe he could hear something like Yoda, no? When Anakin was killing all the Tusken Riders, like, no, no, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But just to say, I was here, but you cannot see me, and now you can because you are now prepared. I was like a tricky, but I love that Neil Nielsen was him, no? It was great to see him.
Ryan, I mean, you're a music teacher. How do you feel about the music in Kenobi?
I thought it was pretty good. I was happy that John Williams came back for the theme and did that. Overall, I thought the music was good. There's always, and I'm sure it's a fight within the heads of people and to decide, like, there's so many times you're like, well, why don't you just draw this theme out from here that you've already got for this scene rather than doing something original. And I'm sure for any composer, it's like, but I want to write something new, you know, but Ian, I mean, I haven't gone and listened to the sound of the music isolated yet. It's on my to-do list this summer, but overall, I felt pretty good with the music. It never pulled me out of the story like, oh, that's bad. Like, if I see a movie and all of a sudden I notice the music and I don't like it, I'm like, oh, this isn't good. If I don't really notice the music while I'm watching a show, then it's probably pretty good. And I can go back and listen to it and listen to the soundtrack and get a better idea. But overall, I thought it was pretty good. I didn't have any problems with it.
Mm-hmm. It really kind of grew on me. I had the soundtrack and I've been kind of listening to it. And my son, actually, especially in the car with me, like my younger son, like he wanted to listen to it. Like he's putting on the track with the fight. And it kind of has elements of like Duel of the Fates and Battle of the Heroes, but it's not kind of that. And I kind of liked that they had a different theme kind of for the Imperials and Vader. It wasn't just like the Imperial March kicks in every single time you like see Vader. And it was just a little bit more, I thought, kind of threatening for Vader as a theme. I liked it. So it grew on me. I think we have to get used now to not having John Williams as much in Star Wars.
I'm betting he pops in and writes a theme in here and there for stuff though, like still, because he said he doesn't want to score full films because he doesn't want to give up the time for it. I don't think he minds like writing one little thing for stuff. It's kind of what he's working toward right now. So we might still see him pop up as long as he's alive to do stuff.
Yeah. I wasn't a fan of the music, to be honest with you guys. It's not that it bothered me at all. It was just kind of there. That's how I felt. Like it worked, but it was not like there's no standout song for me. Even the John Williams song, you know, there's nothing that I can feel like I can hum along with, or, you know, there's nothing catchy for me at least. And that really did make
a Boba Fett theme for you there.
Well, see, that's exactly my point. You know, like even Mando, you know, Mando or a Book of Boba Fett handled that differently. Like you mentioned, Ryan, I mean, you know, why don't they pull more themes from the original trilogy or like themes that we're more familiar with, you know, that we can recognize easier as, you know, as a Star Wars fan? It just kind of, I don't know, it just helps with the Star Wars feeling maybe a little bit more. You know, even that open title track, why not put that in there at the beginning of the show and dun, 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 and now you know you're watching Star Wars, you know?
90% of those decisions are usually director-driven on that sort of thing. They're like, no, we want to show it's different. The one I always think of is like Clone Wars, the Clone Wars movie and series. Like Lucas specifically told the composer, that he wanted to stay away from the John Williams stuff, to have different stuff. And that's why Clone Wars sounds so different from everything else. So I'm suspecting it's probably a little bit director driven on that, and maybe a little composer. I mean, composers have their own egos and everything, and they like to be like, well, I don't want to use somebody else's stuff. I'd like to put in my own thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You get varying degrees of things on that. So you want the familiar.
Yeah, no, like something more familiar. Exactly. That's exactly it. I was longing for a little bit more familiar, maybe.
But maybe to close, for example, Rogue One, that it doesn't start like all the films, no? It has to have something different because the episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, now they are like the movies and now the series and the spin-offs. It cannot start with the same thing and have the same themes. No, I like the music, the sounds, and for example, the part that where Vader is walking, and you expect to hear the Imperial March, and that episode is like silence because you are only hearing his breath, and Obi-Wan is like seeing him walking, and he's wrapping all the villagers, and is, but you only hear his breathing. It was a great moment. But I read in some Facebook fans, like, it was like, in that part we need to hear the Imperial March. No, it was a good moment. No, but it has several points of view. No, different.
Yeah, all good points.
I have one with Vader. Just to hear from you, the thing that is come out of the chest, why is now under and not above the chest, as we saw him in episode 4?
I think it goes back and forth, because in Revenge of the Sith, it's his robes are under the armor.
Yeah.
And then Rogue One, episode 4, they're over the armor, and then Empire Strikes Back, they're back under the armor. And yeah, I figure Vader just gets up like, I'm going to go. You know, he doesn't have a lot of options, so
yeah,
I'm just going to go with this way, you know. We found out, you know, he definitely has multiple helmets, because he gets that helmet sliced up, and then we see a scene with him talking to the Emperor, and he's got a new helmet on, so, you know. Maybe just changes things up.
If you like Galactic Figure Talk, please subscribe. The podcast is available for free on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Podbean, and more. Besides going to galacticfigures.com, stay connected on social. Check out the Galactic Figure community on Facebook, where you can discuss, buy, sell, trade, and showcase your Star Wars figures. Links to all social channels are in the description. Check them out.
Owen and Beru were great, especially Owen. I thought that he was totally awesome. I mean, the way he was, you know, the grizzled version of him, and just, you know, leave me alone kind of attitude, and you know, him being so rough and living out in the farm, and knowing how tough of the life that is when the Tusken Raiders attack every now and then, and you got to be, you know, on the lookout. And yeah, I really liked him. Also really liked Beru, even though we didn't really see a whole lot of her, but she was a pretty badass. I mean, you know, she's got she's the one who wants to stand the ground, you know, and then pulls the weapons out, and you know,
what was the fight like between them and the stormtroopers in A New Hope? How did that fight really go?
Yeah, how did that really go, right? I mean, they could have just put her in the kitchen right next to some blue milk in that show, right? But they didn't do that. I mean, they gave her a really cool part, I thought, and
Wasn't there a meme I've seen where they're like, I don't know what Luke was doing. Like, they refer to Owen and Beru were actually still inside the home, and the skeletons outside were the stormtroopers that they killed, you know? And Luke just saw those and took off. I was glad Beru got something in that last episode. I know I actually met the actress like just a couple of days before that episode aired, and I was like, are you going to be in the last episode? And she was very coy about it. But I was glad that she got something to do, because it was like, she's supposed to be in this. Where is she? You know, and not only did she just show up, but she actually did something. You know, she played a good part to it.
Yeah. So overall, good stuff. If you have to give it a rating from 0 to 10, Carrie, where do you stand?
Maybe 7. 7 out of 10.
Okay.
Just a few things bug me about it.
Matt, where do you stand? 0 to 10.
I'd give it an 8. I mean, I think I really enjoyed the battle between Vader and Kenobi. You know, I thought that was awesome, really. And so yeah, I'd give it an 8.
Okay. Ray, 0 to 10.
8 also. Thinking, for example, I don't know, Mandalorian has like 9.5. I really like Mandalorian, where it's going. Boa Fett maybe a 7.5 because of some things on the series, but I like it. And maybe Kenobi 8.5.
Okay, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm the same. I think between an 8 and 8.5, I really enjoyed it. I didn't really have a lot of major problems with it. Yeah, I like the fight at the end, and I like the first fight, the fight where Kenobi just loses. You know, like, Vader is like, this guy's pathetic. He's fighting him with one hand. You know, just burns him.
Throws him in the fire.
Yeah. Has some really cool some really cool moments. And yeah, 8.5.
Okay, Ryan.
I'm actually going to go a 9. This is probably the Star Wars series I look forward to the most, and each week I just couldn't wait to watch it. I was looking forward to Vader, and Vader was awesome. I'm a big Vader fan. I thought they pulled Vader off very good, but Leia really won me over in the show. I thought the actress did a great job. They wrote the part very well. Like, There's problems, yeah, but overall, like, I just enjoyed the heck out of the story. I've watched through it twice and just really enjoyed it. I thought, especially for us who are a little more old school OT fans, it really kind of feeds into that a little bit more. But that just Vader and Leia alone give me a 9 on it. So,
so high marks from everybody. I'll give it a 7.5, 8. I liked it well enough to rewatch it. So it doesn't quite have the rewatchability than the Book of Boba Fett, for example, for me. But the last episode does. Not the whole series, but the last episode, the fight. And Matt said, you know, that fight was just really awesome. And they just got it right. I find Vader is so hard to get right. And they really nailed him, like the voice and everything and the mannerisms. I think that I haven't done it yet, but I think that if you watch that, and then pop in Empire Strikes Back after that, I think that there's a, like, it really does match really, really well. Yeah. So I'll go with an 8. I'll give it an 8. So. Now, season 2, do you guys want to see a season 2?
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see nothing but Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon sitting in his new house talking.
Yeah. I think the second season, I'd probably have to drop Vader as a returning threat or something. I don't know. Just so
yeah, Vader can't turn into a villain of the week that is defeated every single time by Kenobi and moves on.
I'd like to see the Empire as more of a threat. They come off as a bit of a cartoon buffoon type thing. They seem to be incompetent half the time. So.
That episode
bring Darth Maul back.
That's something I wouldn't like to see, quite honestly. I mean, he died in Rebels, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's the thing with Vader, right? So he lost on Mustafar to Obi-Wan. Then we see him again in this show now, where he also loses, and then we see him on the Death Star again, where he strikes him down, but basically also loses, right? Because Obi-Wan did his new magic trick and is gone. And then he fights Luke and again doesn't really win because Luke escapes. And then he gets beaten by Luke in episode 6. So does Darth Vader ever win a fight? I mean, he's the biggest villain in the galaxy besides Palpatine.
Guess he goes around killing a lot of innocent villagers wherever he goes.
I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, if they're gonna do more Kenobi. If you've read the Kenobi book that came out, I think it was just before the Disney purchase. It was a much smaller story. It was all on Tatooine, and it was more on dealing with a lot of localities and Obi-Wan helping, you know, local people and stuff like that. Kind of like a Western character study, I think, is the way it was described. You know, they don't have to go as big as they did in this. They could do something else like that and make it a smaller story. I know people want big, but like you said, if you overdo Obi-Wan fighting Vader, then, you know, it's kind of like, was it Dooku versus Anakin and Obi-Wan? Like, it happens so many times in Clone Wars that by the time it happens again in Revenge of the Sith, it's like, oh, it's this again, you know? So you don't want to overdo that.
Yeah. So it seems like most of you guys want to see a second season. I'm not sure if we need a second season, to be honest. I didn't even know if we needed this, but I'm kind of glad we got it now. And I would say,
you know, Chris.
Yeah.
Season 2, but maybe it could be Vader spin-off. No, because as Kerry was saying, a lot of things of Inquisitors and the purge that he's doing. We hear about a lot of the purge that he was doing, and before the Inquisitors, that he have Mara Jade as the killer and the Star Killer in the video game. Maybe it could be something with that. No, maybe no Vader, because Vader, we all have seen Vader, and maybe it'd be hard to give him just a spin-off, but. Maybe a Vader and a theme like the Purge to go and find another Jedi, no? Because now they put that for Qui-Gon boss is alive, no? Maybe him go try to get him, or I don't know, another master that is alive. Maybe Mace Windu is still alive with his robotic arm or something like that. No, it could be something like that. Maybe not Kenobi season two, but something for Vader, and to check all these perch, it could be something like that. Maybe
M. Jackson says he wants to come back. So hey.
Yeah. And you save. Maybe Qui-Gon Boss, I was impressed because in the books and the comics, he dies and years ago, no? And to get him alive or something like that, you can do it. And maybe another master, I don't know, maybe it's someone that is not Kenobi, but another master that as you were saying, Vader lose to Kenobi, but maybe he with another master that it was equal to Kenobi, maybe he can win. No, that those fights, it will be interesting. But Vader, not Kenobi. No, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
They did name drop Quinlan Vos in that series.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. For example, Quinlan Vos. I don't know. Mace Windu. I don't know, another master that maybe it was not killed with his clone army, and make Vader disperse and give support to the Inquisitors, no? And you can go to the Rebels' history. It could be interesting.
Now, talking about second seasons, there's finally some rumors about the second season of the Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Where do you guys stand on that? Do you guys want to see a second Boba Fett season?
Yeah, hopefully it does more.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's shake it up a bit, maybe. I don't know.
It's not. Is it going to be about Boba Fett?
Maybe they'll give us two episodes of Ahsoka or something in there. I'd love to see a second season of the Book of Boba Fett. I find Mando and the Book of Boba Fett, the rewatchability is really, really high on those shows. Not everything is perfect, but I really enjoy it. And, you know, every now and then I get this itch where I feel like, oh man, I kind of want to go back and I really want to, you know, dive into this again. And, you know, you put on an episode and yeah, it scratches that itch. And so, you know, they must've gotten something right with that show. And I would love to see a second season, especially now that they've heard some of the criticisms. You know, they could definitely right some of the wrongs, you know, because there's definitely some that definitely wasn't perfect, you know.
I think they need to get away from Tatooine for a bit with Boba.
Yeah. Although, you know, now thinking back, you know, with the Book of Boba Fett and the stuff in The Mandalorian and now with Kenobi, the way they've expanded Tatooine, the world is just brilliant. I mean, even that whale that Obi-Wan was slicing up there, I mean, I love that kind of stuff, that kind of world building, you know. But that's all I had on my list of things to talk about. Did I miss anything, or do you guys want to talk about anything?
I did want to mention really my favorite part of Kenobi. I don't think anybody mentioned this, is when Vader said, "I am not your failure. I killed, yes. You didn't kill Anakin, I did." I thought that was perfect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it really ties into, you know, and I thought it was really cool when he calls him Darth at the end, right? Because he says, "My fan is truly dead. See you later, Darth," or something like that.
Why did he call him Darth, right? And why did he not kill him then, right? Why did he not kill it? Why did he just walk away from him? Why did he not finish it?
I don't know. I would say, you know, part of me wants to say mercy, but at the same time, you could also say he was rubbing it in his face, I guess, that, you know, he beat him again. I mean, that's got to really eat at Vader, getting beat like that again,
mm-hmm.
by Kenobi.
He's alive in Star Wars. We can't kill him here.
Yeah.
Either.
you have episode 4, so he cannot kill you.
Yeah, no, that was a really good moment. And you know what? Actually, you know, when he says that, Matt, I felt like there was this little Hayden Christensen grin. Like, even though you don't really see it, but I
mm-hmm.
you know, I kind of...
You could see his eyes.
You could see his eyes, right? His yeah. Eyes.
Yeah. And his voice came through, right? It was kind of a mix of Hayden's and you know, Darth Vader.
Yeah, that was a really good moment. Love that.
It has a lot of points, no? That part and the part that Leia talks to him about he met his parents, and she's saying like, it's okay, now I'm with them, it's okay. That's a great scene also. We have a lot of things now. It's a good series. Some failures, but it's a good, as you say in the Book of Boba, you have the opportunity to put in another season's Bosk, Amanaman, I don't know, Sarkis, I don't know what the sky is the limit, no? To go back and to have another bounty hunters, another fights, and another crime. I don't know. You have a lot of things to put down.
Mm-hmm. Sort of a plan down the line to kind of bring like the Favreau Filoni universe kind of together here. You know, it'll be Mandalorian and Ahsoka and Boba Fett, and like they're all going to be together.
I've been hinting at that, yeah.
You know, that moment, you know, that you just described with Leia saying goodbye to Obi-Wan, like when you watch that and then you fast forward and then when Luke rescues her from the Death Star and she jumps off of that bench and goes, Ben Kenobi, you know, and now you kind of like you have that moment that they shared when they were younger. You know, I think that's also really, really cool.
But many fans or not fans was like, they knew each other, and why on the episode 4 was like, General Kenobi, you helped my father. It was so annoying that I don't know if you guys was like okay, but it was like annoying to hear that now they know each other, so that's part of the they are running the episode 4 history and all that, and I was like, they have to see the series and to understand that part of the end of the series, no?
Right.
I don't know if you see that on the comments.
Well, it's cool. She names her son Ben, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
So thanks to Ray, Ryan, Matt, Carrie, and Jeff for coming on the show again. And we'll do more of those in the future where we talk about figures, of course. But we'll also keep doing these roundtable discussions about upcoming TV shows. And the next one is probably going to be about Andor. So if you're interested in ever coming on the show and discussing Star Wars action figures or the TV show, take a look at the Galactic Figures community. It's up on Facebook. Link to that is in the description. Go to the events tab, and that is where you'll find all the details about the next community chat. So thank you everyone for listening. Please subscribe, and I'll catch you on the next one.
It's a wrap for this episode, but the next one is just around the corner, so make sure to subscribe. Meanwhile, have fun browsing over 4,000 Star Wars figures on galacticfigures.com, the Star Wars action figure database. The website helps you look up and identify Star Wars figures. Leave your own figure reviews in the comments or check out photo galleries, figure info, news, press releases, or event coverage from New York Toy Fair and Star Wars celebrations. Thanks for listening. Check the links in the description and remember to subscribe.
Goodbye.